There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after witnessing the greatest Raptors moment of my life. And, you know, I haven't watched the Raptors since their entirety, so I can't say this definitively, but by all accounts, that's the greatest Raptors moment ever. Kawhi Leonard. At the buzzer with the series on the line. The first ever Game 7 buzzer-beating game winner. And it was made by our very own Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi, his full name, by the way, Kawhi, I can't believe he's a Raptor, Leonard. And, you know, we're through like 100-plus games now of Kawhi being on the team between preseason and regular season and now postseason. And which, by the way, the Raptors are going to have more games coming up in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Bucks. Not easy, but, you know, I'll talk about that in a second. But after like 100 games, months and months of thinking, deliberating about Kawhi Leonard from the moment where mid-July, I believe it was the 18th, you know, news breaks very early in the morning that, you know, the Raptors had landed Kawhi. From that moment up until now, we've been thinking about Kawhi. We've been dreaming of moments like this, and he gives the Raptors an unforgettable moment. I mean, like, it's like an hour plus after the game's ended, and I still can't believe what happened, man. I still can't believe that Kawhi Leonard drove baseline, Joel Embiid chasing him, you know, Kawhi dribbling to, like, a fraction on the baseline. Like, analytically speaking, that has to be, like, the worst shot possible if you were playing spreadsheet basketball. But this is not spreadsheet basketball. This is real-life basketball. This is a man who, you know, earlier, after Game 4, Norman Powell said in the locker room, you know, that man's Kobe right there, you know? And yeah, that, I mean, that Game 4 moment where Kawhi hits the game winner on that three was Kobe-esque. And today, on that baseline jumper, I mean, and like, it didn't even look possible. I mean, I didn't have the best vantage point because, you know, we're up in the sky in the media box and stuff. But to me, like, first off, the shot went up super high. And obviously, Kawhi falling out of bounds, you know, he wanted to get that shot up high just to give it a chance to drop. But then when the shot did land, it landed, even though it flew so high, it landed so softly on the rim, and it bounced a couple of times, and it almost felt like the basketball was just deciding, like, do I want to give the Raptors this moment? Do I want to excuse, and do I want to forgive all those moments of heartbreak the Raptors fans have seen? And the ball decides, yeah, what the hell? Let's give the Raptors. I mean, the arena exploded, and you know, obviously, you know, people try to maintain their impartiality in the playoffs and, as media, and, you know, I struggle with that. Definitely struggle with that in the moment. I'll tell you that. I was flipping out. But yeah, that's the game. The Raptors went 92-90. I should have said the score earlier, but yeah, that's it right there. The last 2 points, courtesy of Kawhi Leonard, who had 41 points on the night. I mean, and look, man, he was unloading the clip. He was emptying the clip, you know? It's all players ever talk about when they talk about Game 7. So I'm going to leave it all on the line. Kawhi actually did that. Kawhi shot the ball 39 times. And I'm not going to lie to you, this game was ugly for a lot of it, but just Kawhi kept the Raptors in the game when there was really no one could score. Kawhi was there, stripping the ball, going for dunks. I mean, just incredible plays throughout the night. Incredible endurance, too, to play 43 minutes. And then at the very end there, the very end. I mean, like, baseline, like, probably 20-footer, and beats coming at him. I mean, Kawhi ends up landing in what is essentially out of bounds. And he's crouching on the floor alongside Jordan Lloyd, of all people, watching the ball sort of, you know, decide his fate. And it was just it was just a miraculous moment by the Raptors and by Kawhi Leonard. But seriously, this was everything you can ask for from Game 7. Coming into this game, I wish I had said it on the record, but I was, you know, people were coming up to me and asking me, how did you feel? And I was thinking that this is going to be very similar to Game 7 against Indiana. And I don't remember, I don't know if a lot of people were there for that game. I mean, it was a memorable game in the sense that the Raptors won a Game 7 and advanced. But it also wasn't that memorable, and how ugly and painful it was, and like the execution down the stretch of the Raptors were just like classic, like just run the ball down and then take a bad shot, and like it was just excruciating. And the Raptors ended up winning, I think, by 4 points, and advancing to the second round. And people weren't that happy. I mean, people were thrilled. I mean, don't get me wrong, the emotion after this game is different, but stylistically, that game played out in the same way where. Game 7s, I mean, teams are going to leave it out on the line. The coaches are going to only play the guys that they absolutely trust. And that's what it came down to. The Raptors, Nick Nurse only played, I would say, 6.5 guys. Van Vliet did play 15 minutes, although part of that was because Kyle had dislocated his left thumb. And he had to get it popped back in, which sounds extremely, extremely painful. And it's the second time in the series it's had to happen. But pretty much, Nick Nurse trusted 6.5 guys, and really when it came down to it, in the fourth quarter he trusted just 5, and it worked out for the Raptors. It worked out. Those 5 guys he trusted on the floor, they all made big plays, and it was the starting 5 with Serge Ibaka in place of Danny Green. Danny Green was really struggling throughout the game. Nick Nurse decides, you know what, screw it, I'm just gonna go with my biggest lineup. I'm gonna go with Serge, who on a night where there's so many people to talk about. And, of course, Kawhi is the big story here. The sheer determination, everything like that. It was just a fantastic performance. But if I may have a moment, Serge Ibaka, the man that I have decided to stand on this season, the man who has enjoyed a comeback year but has had to take a bench role because of Marc Gasol coming in and changing positions and then changing back to power forward. This man stepped up when the Raptors needed it the most. 17 points from Serge Ibaka. And not just that, but the Raptors as a team only hit 7 of 30 from 3. And 3 of their 7 threes came from Serge Ibaka, who again was 0 of 9 in the series. In the first 6 games, Serge shot 0 of 9 from 3. And they were bad bricks. There were air balls in there. There were shots that only caught backboard. I mean, just hard bricks. And of all people, Serge Ibaka today. First off, he hits Raptors' first 3 of the night. Hits another 3. And then later on in the fourth quarter there, Pascal drives. He kicks out to the corner. Simmons is right there with Serge. Simmons kind of runs Serge off and was like, you're not going to actually shoot this. And Serge pulls up. When have you ever seen Serge Ibaka pull up for 3, let alone hit that 3? But he hits that 3. And Serge has had so many big moments. But you got to credit Serge because he was one of those 5 guys that Nick Nurse trusted. And it really worked out. It was an ugly game. It was a grind. There were a lot of calls in the fourth quarter that I may have screamed my lungs out at. One that really stood out actually involved Serge Ibaka, where sort of a broken play. Raptors up, believe, 4 points in the last minute. The ball goes into Embiid. Somehow Kyle Lowry's guarding him in the post. And Kyle, being the smartass that he is, pulls the chair on Embiid. Embiid kind of loses the ball. And Embiid somehow recovers the ball and is trying to go up. And, you know, he doesn't have his balance, so he's not going up strong or anything. And Serge fully swats the ball out of his hands. Just the ball. Not the hand. And it got 2 free throws. But, I mean, that was just a lot of free throws in the fourth quarter that were shaky. Jimmy Butler in the corner just swinging his arms up, flopping his legs. It's been happening all series. He's been getting away with all series, so I'm not surprised he did that. But down the stretch, the number of calls that were just making me tear my hair out. But but the Raptors fought through it. And, you know, they got just enough scoring. Kawhi, by the way, shot 10 of 30 for the first 3 quarters. There were times where he looked exhausted. There was one play where, like, it was his rotation. He had to close out to Tobias Harris, but he had been carrying such a big load offensively. He just had no energy, and he couldn't even get out there. You know what I mean? It was one of those DeMar closeouts, and you're just like, oh, man, this is not going to go well if Kawhi doesn't have any energy, really. But after going 10 of 30 in the first three quarters, he goes 6 of 9 for 15 points in the fourth quarter. I don't know how he found that extra burst. I want to give the credit to Nick Nurse, who made an incredibly ballsy decision to keep Kawhi on the bench to start the fourth quarter, to buy him a breather. In about those 2.5 minutes that Kawhi sat, the Raptors actually won that quarter, won that little stretch by 1 point. That was actually such a massive edge, because on the other end, you had Embiid, who played basically the entire second half, and literally anytime anyone else came in, it was a huge minus. Like Mike Scott, minus 12 in 10 minutes. Greg Monroe came in for a minute 41 seconds, was a minus 9, right? So Embiid had to play every single minute, and I think it exhausted Embiid. It really exhausted Embiid, whereas the Raptors were able to buy Kawhi those 2 minutes, and in those 2 minutes, I think Mark hit a three, I think Serge hit that three, and that was it. That was it. They won that little stretch 6-5. Kawhi gets to come back in. Kawhi's fresh, and he finishes the game 6-9, including that game winner. But, I mean, there was multiple big shots that Kawhi was hitting down the stretch. I mean, I really honestly just want to break down the film and come back with an even more coherent podcast tomorrow. But, you know, just in the moment, I mean, you know, him pulling up right in Embiid's face and drilling that jumper. There was a play where Embiid hit a tough follow-away jumper and to give the Sixers a 2-point advantage. Then Kawhi immediately responds with a jumper of his own to tie the game, like immediately, like seconds after. He's like, all right, I got this. You know, brings the Raptors back in. I think psychologically, the Raptors a huge edge, and just so many great plays down the stretch for Kawhi. And, you know, it was an incredibly, incredibly tough and gritty game. And, of course, in those types of games, that's when Kyle Lowry's star shines the most. And, look, man, if anybody ever talks to you about Kyle Lowry and his scoring, and they look at the box score and they go, ha-ha, Kyle only had 10 points of 4-13 shooting, show them footage of this game. Show them the plays, the winning kind of plays that Kyle Lowry made down the stretch. And the one that really sticks out late in the fourth quarter, about a minute plus, it's a 2-point game. You know, the Sixers trying to run this action with Tobias Harris getting a dribble handoff from Embiid. Pascal is doing his best job, working his ass off to just deny that pass to Tobias. Jimmy tries to come rescue the play. You know, Kawhi follows him, and, you know, it just blows up that whole action. And somehow the ball, like, somehow I think Tobias got trapped on the sideline there where Gasol decides to provide help along with Pascal, and they have Tobias surrounded. And somehow Tobias makes a great pass to kick it back out to the wing where Embiid was the pressure release, the outlet. And Kyle at that moment decides to help all the way across the floor and blitzes Embiid, catches him blind, steals the ball, runs the play the other way, and of course he finds Pascal, his favorite transition target, for a clutch layup. Really could have been a foul. Like he got, like, Jimmy knocked Pascal to the floor, and then afterwards on the battle for the rebound, Embiid trucks Kyle Lowry. Of course there was no call. Okay, fine, whatever. But seriously, I mean, Kyle coming up with that play, just, it's a classic Kyle Lowry play. It really is a classic Kyle Lowry play. But even throughout the fourth quarter, when you go back and revisit it, like Kyle taking a charge on Ben Simmons, Kyle hitting a tough turnaround jumper where Kawhi got completely stuck in the post. He tried to, like, three other people tried to come get the ball. No one could. Kyle gets the ball with, like, 2 seconds left, is, like, dribbling across the lane from the free throw, and somehow, you know, he hits this tough, like, turnaround follow-away jumper. I mean, it's crazy. And then even in that play where, you know, really the Raptors should have ended this game. Like, the Kawhi jumper shouldn't even have happened, because if the right call was made, and by right call it would have been the lack of call, because Serge is, he completely cleanly strips the ball from Joel. But right before that, Kyle, you know, bodying up against Embiid in the post and pulling the chair and causing a loose ball. I mean, it's brilliant stuff from Kyle Lowry. And Kyle Lowry after the game, all smiles, you know, made sure to get the game ball for Kawhi Leonard. I mean, it's just that kind of guy. I mean, Kyle was also the guy who made sure to run down the game ball after game one of the season, when against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then handing that ball to Nick Nurse, and that was his first NBA head coaching win. I mean, it's just, you know, Kyle Lowry, what a guy. But seriously, it was an incredible fight throughout the game. You know, you got to tip your hats to the Sixers as well. They fought like crazy. Jimmy Butler had a couple moments in the fourth quarter. You were like, oh my God, he's really going to steal this. And Redick hit some, you know, ridiculous shots. And Embiid hit some tough shots and made some great plays at the rim. But but the Raptors had Kawhi Leonard, and he made that jumper. And you know, before I go talk more about the basketball aspects, I just want to touch on the fact that, like, look, as Raptors fans, we have this sort of, we have this complex, right? Like, whether that's something that's deserved and something that's sort of earned after all these years of heartbreak and, I mean, decades of heartbreak. Whether it's that or the American thing or whatever reason there is to be pessimistic about the Raptors. Like, I get it. I hear you. I feel it. I feel it deeply. I feel it deeply. But I must also say, after seeing that moment, after seeing Kawhi, you just got to throw that out the window. You got to put that baggage aside. You know, it comes back to that moment of Masai Ujiri at the press conference when he first got Kawhi to the Raptors and introduced him, and Kawhi made that, you know, silly laugh or whatever. But, you know, believe in yourselves, believe in the city, and you have to. How could you not believe? How could you not believe when you have Kawhi Leonard there? And so all that moping and stuff, all that, you know, doom and gloom shit, like, it's over. It's over. It's over. We have Kawhi Leonard. It's over. He can do anything. He could do anything. And today he showed it. 41 points in a Game 7 setting, hitting the only buzzer-beating Game 7 game winner in NBA history. I mean, the NBA has been around many, many years, 60-plus years. Nobody's hit one of these shots. And for the Raptors to have Kawhi and for Kawhi to do that and to see that happen live, I mean, yeah, that's it. The doom and gloom shit is over. The inferiority complex is over. It's over. It's over. This is it. This is it. And we're going to go to Milwaukee. The Raptors are going to give their best effort. I think the Raptors are underdogs. On paper, I would say Milwaukee's a better team. They're operating better, but I don't care. I don't care. For once, I trust the Raptors. I really do. I trust the Raptors. This team is different. This team is different. And Kawhi has changed the culture of this team, period. Like, nobody was nervous in this game. Nobody. In a Game 7 setting for the Raptors against a very good team. The Sixers have a lot of talent. They have four guys that are arguably all-stars. And Redick is as good as it comes in terms of just role players. They have five incredible players. It's one of the most talented starting fives in the NBA. And the Raptors, they got through it. They got through it. So, in terms of the players themselves, I guess I'll start with Kawhi. I mean, look, this is one of those games where early in the game, I was still a little bit worried, like, okay, the Raptors are deferring a little bit too much to Kawhi. Like, I think Kawhi took, like, the first four shots, and it just kept spiraling. Like, everyone just kept looking for Kawhi, and it was one of those things where, you know, everyone else talks about, oh, we got to help Kawhi, we got to help Kawhi, got to help Kawhi. But, like, I think all they meant was just, like, we got to set screens for Kawhi and let him shoot the ball, because, like, he was shooting the ball every single time, and, like, I don't think it did great things for the offense. And at one point, like, you know, I just thought, like, you can run this offense, that's fine, but Kawhi has to be better. And there was a stretch there. I mean, look, he was 10 of 30 through three quarters. Like, he wasn't very efficient, that he was making some tough decisions, and he was kind of exhausting himself. But in the fourth quarter, he did come alive, and he just carried the Raptors. And I think the one thing with Kawhi today was he just played with this sheer determination, right? At no point was the moment too big for him. At no point did he want to quit. At no point did he look shook, but he accepted every single challenge. I think one thing that gets really understated in this game was that Nick Nurse switched his defensive assignments so that he could have Kawhi on Jimmy Butler. Butler obviously had been killing the Raptors for, you know, five straight games, win or loss. Butler's been amazing. Today, Butler, 5 of 14 from the field for 16 points. And most of those, you know, he had a couple where he got free in the fourth quarter there. But, whew, man, Kawhi made that man disappear. And I think just the exhaustion that comes with guarding Butler. Because, like, it's not like Kawhi's not guarding a tough assignment. Like, Ben Simmons is tough, too. But as long as you get back in transition, you know, cut him off so that he can't get all the way to the basket, Simmons is going to reset. And then you're pretty much just, like, you know, boxing him out. Like, you're not – Simmons is not moving that much. And so I think, you know, that there was an ability for Kawhi to kind of just get some rest. But Nick Nurse today, switching up the lineups, he putting you know, Pascal on Ben Simmons, which I think was smart because you still keep length on Simmons. You still keep him off the glass, but you also get a guy who's fast and he can keep up with Simmons in transition. Simmons is one of the fastest players in the NBA, and you kind of need that, right? So, and then, you know, the Raptors then slid Danny Green down to Tobias Harris and kind of made that work. I thought that was a very smart adjustment by Nurse. And in a way, I thought it was a little bit overdue. I thought that he could have done it a little bit earlier, but still, it was a great game seven adjustment. And it took Butler out of the offense. Like, Butler just didn't score for most of the game. He had a couple moments in the fourth quarter, but he just didn't score. And a lot of his scoring was like free throws, like kind of like janky free throws. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a luxury. It's a luxury when you have a guy like Kawhi, you can just put on the other guy's best player and just shut them down and force them to, you know what, you know, okay, Butler's been killing us, that's fine, you know, cool. We're going to put Kawhi on him, and we'll see what happens. And Butler's been their point guard. Butler had one assist today. Butler shot 5 of 14 for 16 points. Like, Kawhi's defensive effort against Butler was sensational. And the Sixers, in the fourth quarter there, I thought the Sixers, first off, had looked pretty poised in a couple of these games down the stretch, obviously Butler being a main reason for that, but today, I mean, the Sixers had multiple shot clock violations and things like that, and I think Kawhi was a big part of that. So even aside from the 41 points, the fact that he kept Butler, I mean, the one assist is just incredible, because they had been running so many handoffs and pick and rolls with Butler and Embiid, and that's such a hard thing to stop. But Kawhi did a great job, along with Marc Gasol, obviously, as a two-man defensive strategy there to guard the pick and roll. The two of them, I mean, I don't remember a single sequence where Butler got free off a pick and roll, or that Embiid got free off a pick and roll feed from Butler. And so shutting that off, which was the main source of offense for the Sixers, was just absolutely huge. So, I mean, what a performance by Kawhi Leonard. What a performance. I'm going to skip Pascal. Actually, I talked about Serge earlier, but I think the fact that Serge was one of the five guys that Nick Nurse trusted down the stretch was absolutely huge. This is similar to Game 4, where Serge really stepped up. This is obviously in a bigger way, but I think the one thing that stood out to me was how effective the Raptors were when they played big. And, you know, some people might be screaming, like, the Raptors were one of the best lineups in the NBA last season when they had the two bigs on the floor with Ibaka and JB. And that's true. That is true. But we saw in the playoffs that that lineup wasn't, you know, just wasn't holding up. But I think in this special case against the Sixers, who, look, it's a team where they have guys who can shoot. Like, obviously, Redick is great at shooting. But the rest of those guys you could kind of live with, and you can kind of get away with helping and then recovering. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really get away with helping off Redick. He will make you pay. But you can help off Jimmy, and you can help off Tobias. And Tobias has been super disappointed in the series. And today, he had, what, 15 points, 42 minutes, barely noticed him. But yeah, I mean, Serge being able to come in and play that powerful minutes, and also just to provide an extra layer of rim protection around the basket was huge. And look, you know, I'm kind of, you know, dancing around it too, but one of the main reasons why the Raptors won this game was the fact that they won the offensive rebounding battle 16-5. And that's rare. The Raptors don't go for the offensive rebound that often. And the Sixers are a really good defensive rebounding team. They're huge. But, you know, I think a combination of the Sixers being exhausted and the Raptors being a little bit bigger than them sometimes when you have Serge on the floor, like, it created so many opportunities. And it did so many good things for the Raptors. And Serge being a plus 22 in 29 minutes off the bench with 17 points, outscoring the Sixers' entire bench by himself, it was massive. It was massive. I mean, this is one of Serge's best performances. I mean, this and Game 1 against the Wizards last year, where he was torching Gortat, it's, you know, it's great. And I think Serge's awareness is something that, you know, if he doesn't have his confidence, his awareness really, really suffers. But I thought today, for example, there was one play where early in the fourth quarter, the Sixers had run some, like, little action on the left side of the floor, and Serge was on the right side along the baseline guarding, you know, Ben Simmons, which is basically where he camps out for the entire game. But, yeah, he was guarding Ben Simmons, and then he saw that the Raptors had slipped and Embiid had gotten open for three. Now, granted, you kind of want Embiid to shoot threes, but at the same time, you also kind of want to run him off. Because when you watch Embiid play, by the way, like, Embiid, when he's warming up and stuff, this man drains everything from threes. So, you know, yeah, so Serge helps all the way across the paint and runs Embiid off the three-point line, and the Raptors were able to rotate from there and force a shot clock violation. And I thought it was a huge play, not in the sense that, like, so smart to, you know, run and beat off the three-point line, but you just wanted to take away any single possible shot that the Sixers had. And I think Serge picking up that was huge. Serge coming with an offensive rebound with the Raptors up three with, like, 30 seconds left just to give the Raptors a couple more seconds to shave off the clock. That was huge. The Raptors didn't end up scoring on that possession, but still, I thought Serge getting that rebound was big. But, yeah, I mean, I just Ibaka at power forward, You know, defending Tobias Harris, you know, coming up to the perimeter, and, you know, battling Embiid. Just, he did everything. And I think Serge's confidence is so big. Like, I've never seen a player so affected by confidence. And I think today when he hit those threes early in the game, he felt good about himself. And it wasn't like he was, like, trying to shoot a bunch of threes. Like, he ended up shooting five, which is fine. But, I mean, you know, a lot of it was the Sixers were collapsing the paint, so he's getting open looks. But, like, you know, like, Ibaka was getting into the glass as well. The fact that he got four offensive rebounds is massive. I mean, the Sixers as a team only got five. And so Serge getting to the offensive glass, getting these little putbacks was huge. And in the third quarter, by the way, Serge, that's when he had his best moments. In the third quarter where the Raptors had just gone up 50-41, and it looked like the Raptors were going to pull it open, and, you know, we're going to see what the Sixers are made of. The Sixers come back with a, ridiculous run. I think 15 points. Let's say 15 points. And they take the lead. And it's like, okay, all of a sudden the Raptors are in trouble. And the guy that got the Raptors out of it was Serge Ibaka. Serge along with Kyle. First off, Serge was the first guy to stop the bleeding by getting a little low post basket. Then on the next possession, he feeds Kawhi on a high low pass as if he's Marc Gasol or something, and Kawhi gets a layup. He scores that. And then Serge gets a putback, and he beats out three Sixers to get it, and he puts it back in. There's another play where Kyle gets two offensive rebounds on the same play, and he saves it to Ibaka, who puts it in. I mean, Ibaka was massive. Kyle obviously was big in that stretch too, and he took a charge on Embiid during that stretch. And the Raptors ended up, you know, responding to that 15-0 run with a 17-7 run, and they, you know, they kept they stayed within the game, and they kind of controlled it a little bit with that run. But Serge was massive. And then Kyle, I mean, what can you even say about Kyle? The amount of hustle plays that he made in this game, it just consistently throughout, it was huge. You know, he also gave the Raptors a quick shot in the arm to end the second quarter with a three in a corner, and then also a driving end-to-end layup and one over, I think, Monroe. And, like, Kyle was a warrior today because his thumb popped out. He got it put back in, and then he plays the entire second half and just, you know, is chasing Redick. And it's just, it's a thankless job to being Kyle Lowry, but he does it to win. He's an unselfish player, and I think the joy and the sheer satisfaction on his face after this win, just for me personally, as a fan of Kyle Lowry, it just made everything worth it. And I know the scoring numbers aren't always there, and against different teams, you're going to need that scoring. But the thing with Kyle is, even when he's not scoring, he's still going to impact the game. And he showed it tonight. I mean, that blitz against against Embiid with about a minute left was just such a classic Kyle Lowry play. And, you know, it was huge. Every basket was massive down the stretch. And Kyle getting that steal, laying it off to Pascal and finishing, like, incredible stuff. Speaking of Pascal, I thought a little bit that he kind of, I wouldn't say he shied away from the moment a little bit, but I thought, like everyone else on the team, he started deferring to Kawhi, which is rare. Usually you see Pascal shoot more than 11 times in a game, especially in these playoffs. He's been a very high usage player, and, you know, the Raptors have needed that from him. He's had to be the secondary option on this team. And look, today, it was very tough on Siakam. Not only was he going against Embiid, who was pretty good defensively, but also Siakam was playing a lot of out of position because the Raptors played supersize. Like, the fact that they cut Danny from the rotation in the fourth quarter meant that Pascal had to play small forward and Kawhi was playing two guard, which is a massive lineup when you really think about it. But, you know, Pascal having to play that three position, it's tough. It really is. The floor spacing is not good when there's Mark and there's Serge in there. So I think it tested him. But at the same time, like, I don't want to see him be attentive because the Raptors need him to stay aggressive. They need him to stay aggressive. I think defensively he did a great job. You know, he was good on the defensive glass. He was good on the offensive glass. You know, had that layup at the end. But seriously, I think Pascal just needs to, I mean, I don't know, maintain your confidence. Like, you've done everything right to get to this point, and so you should just keep doing it. But, you know, Pascal, again, he probably is still dealing with a little bit of lingering issues in terms of his calf and stuff. So, I don't know. 37 minutes, I thought he had a good performance. It was out of character for him. And he kind of slipped back into last year's role of, I'm just going to defend and sort of fill in where I can. He has a bigger role in this year's team for sure. But today, it worked out. So, Yeah, I mean, Danny struggled. I don't want to talk too much about Danny. But the other guy I want to highlight, well, actually, I wanted to highlight Fred as well before I talk about Marc Gasol, because I thought Mark had a really underrated game. But Fred coming in and getting the Raptors 4 free throws, I know this sounds ridiculous. The 4 free throws and 2 steals in 15 minutes by Fred VanVleet were massive. He shot 0-5 from the field. He shot 0-2 from 3. He didn't really rebound the ball. Didn't have an assist. But the fact that he, A, bought the Raptors some time while Kyle Lowry was out getting his thumb, you know, popped back into place or whatever, Fred actually was able to hold the fort down, which is massive. And a lot of that, it's not just him being passenger. A lot of that was him getting those drives and getting those free throws and stuff. But the fact that Fred was able to step up today and give the Raptors just even some minor minutes of him chasing him around Redick, which he's done a great job of all series, by the way. He's done a great job of chasing around Redick. And Redick is such a key for the Sixers offense. So if you can kind of shut him down, it is really, really important. And I think more than anything else, Fred did a really good job of just staying attached and stuff and avoiding screens. It's a thankless job. But Fred giving the Raptors 15 minutes tonight was huge. And it's not even a good performance necessarily by his regular standards. But in Game 7s, it's just about what you got. Give it to me right now. And Fred, he delivered. He delivered. So the other guy I want to talk about was Marc Gasol. I mean, again, you look at the stat line, only 7 points. But his defense against Embiid has been so good this whole series. Embiid had 21 points today, but shot 6 of 18 from the field. If you can hold the opposing team's best player to 6 of 18, don't even look at the percentage. The 6 of 18 obviously isn't good, right? Just look at the fact that he only shot 18 shots in 45 minutes. This is Joel Embiid we're talking about. Like, this is a guy who should be getting to, you know, just shooting a ton of shots, should be getting to the free throw line a lot, and he got a couple bogey fouls today and whatever, he got to 9, but, you know, Gasol's defense against Embiid has been great, and today, Nick Nurse, by the way, credit Nick Nurse again, finally made the call to rip up his rotation entirely and just go out there. Anytime Embiid's coming in the game, we need Mark in the game. Anytime Gasol sits, we're going to take Mark out. Both of them, by the way, Gasol finished with 45 minutes and 12 seconds of play. Joel Embiid, 45 minutes, 12 seconds of play. That is what Nick Nurse needed to do early in the series. He finally did it, and it worked out. And if you look at the series as a whole, so honestly, 21 points for Embiid tonight was actually decent. And look, scoring isn't everything. Embiid is so good defensively that, you know, he's going to impact the game. He's still going to be a positive. He was a huge positive in this series. He's a positive 10 today in a game that they lost. You know, go figure. But if you really look at it, though, so Embiid averaged 27 points a game this season, was one of the best players in the NBA. He had one game in 7 where he had 27 or better. He had 21, he had, you know, 17, he had 16, he had like 13, he had like 11, he had like a 10. Like, overall in the series, the final numbers, Embiid averaged 17 points a game and shot 37% from the field. And that's including that Game 3 performance where he was doing the airplane and stuff like that. You take that game out, I mean, it was an ugly, ugly series for Embiid. And the fact that, again, let me read you that stat line again. 17 points per game, which is 10 less than his regular season average. And he shot 37%, which is 11 percentage point less than his regular season average. In this series, Marc Gasol defensively has put a number on Joel Embiid. And, by the way, Marc Gasol, being the dad that he is, Embiid was very emotional after the game. There were tears. Marc Gasol went over and consoled him and gave him advice. And, you know, like, just the sportsmanship, the character that he showed. I mean, against the guy in Embiid who, I would say, sportsmanship is not his best trait. Like, a lot of flopping, for example, and the showboating and stuff. Which, you know, whatever. I don't care. I don't care. I very much identify with the way Embiid plays sports. I am also, I do turn into a jerk when I play, right? So I'm not casting judgment on the way Embiid plays. But objectively speaking, we're talking about a guy who doesn't value the sportsmanship in the same way. And for Mark to show that character, to go over and console Embiid, it's great. And it's something that, you know, Embiid talked about before the series about how much Gasol was able to give him advice early in his career and things like that. For Mark to do that in that moment, I think that just it says a lot about who he is as a guy. But seriously, Gasol's defense against Embiid was phenomenal yet again. And look, Gasol, like, he had to take some more threes. It, you know, it is what it is. And going forward against Milwaukee, he must shoot that three, because Milwaukee is even more aggressive than Philly, if you believe it, in terms of taking away the paint. But the fact that he had that three in the fourth quarter while Kawhi was on the bench was massive. Gasol made a lot of plays. Defensively, he was everywhere. He was doing great. And, like, you know, a couple times he jumped out at Embiid's pump fake whatever. But honestly, like, aside from the fact that, you know, he touched Embiid's hair and that time it became three free throws, aside from that, I mean, like, you know, it worked out for the Raptors' defense in the sense that when you rotate to a guy and you can continue to rotate and stuff like that, like, I think even though Mark did make a couple of bad, mistakes in terms of judgment, in terms of closing on Embiid, like, the Raptors were able to sort of compensate for it with their team defense and their rotations. And so I thought Mark's defense has just been vital in this throughout this whole entire series. And you look at it, like, Kawhi averaged like 30 plus in this series. Nobody could stop Kawhi. No one could put a dent in Kawhi. And Simmons played pretty good defense, all things considered, against Kawhi, but they couldn't do anything with him. Well, the fact that you have Gasol, who, by the way, remember in the first round, took down Nick Vucevic. Nick averaged like 13 points a game. It was just nowhere to be found. He took out Nick Vucevic, and in this series, he took out Joel Embiid. Like, it's massive. We all wish for more scoring from Marc Gasol, but the fact that he was able to do what he did defensively was just massive. It kept the Raptors in the game, quite honestly, because the Raptors offensively weren't good enough to be in the game. It's just defensively they were so good, and I think Mark was huge in that. So I talked about the seven guys. In terms of your three stars, obviously Kawhi number one. Who else but Kawhi Leonard? It was his night. 41 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 16 of 39 shooting, 2 threes, 7 of 8 free throws, 3 steals. A couple of the steals, by the way, were just incredible stuff. Like, Embiid would just have the ball in the post, and Kawhi would come out of nowhere, snatch it, go the length of the court, dunk it with two hands over Tobias Harris. It was just very satisfying stuff. But obviously, the most satisfying part was the fact that Kawhi Leonard, I still can't believe he hit that jumper. I still can't believe that jumper went in. That shit was impossible. That was impossible. He was on the baseline. Like, he was like a foot within the three-point line. There was like no space whatsoever. Embiid closed out so hard on him. I don't even know how he got the shot up over Embiid. I don't know how the shot went in. I don't know how he got the shot off in time. I mean, all of it was just sensational. Great play. Great play by a great player. And we get to see more Kawhi Leonard. Because you know what, though? The thing was, as I was sort of dreading Game 7 throughout the entire day, and it just, you know, it took up a lot of my mental energy on a Sunday. One of the things I kept coming back to was, I'm not ready to see the last game of Kawhi Leonard in a Raptor jersey. And who knows? You know, he could re-sign, maybe, you know, whatever. Who knows, right? But I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for the season to be over, and neither was Kawhi. He said it after the game too. He was like, "Yo, yeah, I'm just not ready for the season to be over." You know, so yeah, Kawhi's the first star. Duh. Second star, I'm giving that to Serge Ibaka. 17 points off the bench, 8 rebounds, 6 of 10 shooting, 3 of 5 from the 3-point line, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 3 assists. Plus 22 in 29 minutes. I mean, Serge Ibaka coming up huge is, I mean, I don't know. It was unexpected in a way, but also he was the hero the Raptors deserved. And, you know, him hitting those threes early on was just the best thing to happen to the Raptors. Not only because the Raptors needed a three to drop, but it gave Serge confidence to play out the game. And without Serge, the Raptors are easily losing this game. Serge was massive tonight, and yeah, again, you just got to give up to him. Like, this unselfishness on the Raptors, all these guys giving up opportunities, falling into different roles and taking on smaller roles that they've ever, more humble roles than they ever had. Kyle just being, you know, like a, honestly, like a really super premium Marcus Smart, and like Marcus Gasol just not taking any shots ever and just playing defense, and Ibaka switching positions and, you know, playing two center lineups. Like, all these guys have accepted their roles, and they're doing what needs to be done to win. And you got to appreciate Serge's unselfishness and professionalism for that. And then third star, I'm giving up to Kyle Lowry. 10 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. That's not even about the stat line. It's just about the number of plays he made. And the toughness, too. To have your finger pop out and just come back in and play the entire second half. I mean, wow. Just wow. And taking contact, too. Like, absorbing full-on Joel Embiid after Euro step in full speed. Kyle steps in for a charge. Takes it on the numbers. Gets right back up. You know what I mean? Like, that's impressive stuff from your team leader. And, of course, the charge on Simmons, the steal. I mean, just Kyle was everywhere defensively tonight. And so, those are your three stars. In terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, I mean, I don't know, man. I guess I'll give it to Redick. The thing is, like, the Raptors did a pretty good job defensively against everybody. And Redick got free for a couple jumpers, whatever. I'll give it to Redick, fine. You know, he hit a couple threes. It was pretty tough. There's one play where, you know, he's coming off a curl, and it's like a long two, and he jumps. This is the one, Redick has this thing where he's able to just, like, they throw the ball to him, and then he, like, catches it and jumps at the same time. So you have very little time to contest. And he somehow hits that jumper while getting fouled because Serge landed in his landing area or whatever. Like, Redick was just a nuisance. And he was key to most of the Sixers' offense because they would use the threat of his shooting and his movement to create opportunities for everyone else. And so Redick was good tonight, you know. So, you know, tip your hat to him. And then I don't even want to hand out a Patrick Patterson Award, to be honest. I don't think it's fair to anybody that competed in this game. If I had to give it to someone, I'd give it to Danny. But, like, again, I don't think it's fair to give it to anyone in this game. Like, I think all the players that played tonight played their hearts out. And yeah, it came down to one basket. And it's cruel, man. It's really cruel. Like, if you really think about the stakes, like, Sixers might be rethinking who they're going to re-sign. They might not bring back Tobias Harris. They might trade Ben Simmons. Who knows? You know, they might, you know, get rid of Brett Brown, who is honestly, from the time he got hired as Sixers coach to start the process till now where he looks like Santa Claus, like, he really deserves to see this thing through. And for them to put it on him and things like that, and the rumors are that, they're, you know, if he loses this game, he loses his job. Like, how could you lose this? How could you lose your job when Kawhi hits some ridiculous baseline jumper and the ball bounces in, you know? Like, I don't know. But I guess that's just sports. But seriously, it was a great game. It was a great game. It was the best performance I've ever seen out of the Raptors, and I've seen a lot of great ones. I know the Raptors get a lot of flack, but I've seen a lot of great ones. The beaver shirt that I'm wearing, the crazy beaver shirt, I got that right now. So I've only ever worn it three times, but I've seen the Raptors have some great performances during time. I got it game 5 against Indiana 2016. That's the game where Norm steals it from Paul George. We had like 39 points that night, and like somehow like Frank Vogel plays an all bench lineup, which congratulations to the Lakers for hiring Frank Vogel. But yeah, Frank Vogel plays like an all bench lineup, and the Raptors make a 12 point comeback. DeMar's on the bench. Somehow the Raptors win that game and they win the series. I remember that. I remember the Cleveland like Biombo matching Hakeem's records for rebounding, and Raptors, you know, come back to tie that series. Like, that was a sensational experience. And you know, you got DeMar DeRozan driving past the Bucks and dunking it and that was when the Raptors almost blew like a 27 point lead in the second half to the Bucks in game 6, and then dunking all over those, like, you know, Milwaukee fans that were chanting USA, which is like the worst, most ignorant thing to chant at a team full of Americans. But still, DeMar dunking it, you know, to secure that series, that was a huge moment. You know, the Wizards series last year was honestly, as much as it was, you know, expected the Raptors will win, but that game 6, the hustle of the bench, you know, Fred coming in, making a bunch of plays, DeLon stepping up, like, there was DeLon blocking Oubre and stuff. Like, there's been a lot of good Raptors moments over the last couple of years, but like, come on, none of it stands up to this. None of it stands. I mean, how could you beat this? Kawhi Leonard falling out of bounds, baseline, hits a jumper. I mean, the scenes are incredible. And so the Raptors are now going to play the Bucks. So there's going to be lots of content, first off. You can, you know, expect a lot more. You know, I think there's going to be something the morning after. Tomorrow I'm going to try to find somebody to talk about this game again, because I really want to go through the tape, comb through it, you know, play by play, and really come up with something a little bit more coherent. Just, I think this game was so, the fourth quarter especially was just so,
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Like, it was just so memorable that I feel like I just owe it to myself almost to just really go back and just look over all the plays. But you could look for that. You could obviously look for a preview podcast, for the Bucks series. I have a lot of thoughts about that series. And again, I already said it. The Raptors are underdogs in that series, period. Like, I don't expect the Raptors to win that series. But after a game like this, I don't know. I don't know what to expect out of the Raptors. I just know not to doubt them anymore. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. What a fantastic night. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, to everyone out there. And yeah, I'll be back tomorrow with more. In the meantime, Kawhi Leonard. The Raptors have Kawhi Leonard.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.